The very word secrecy is repugnant in a free and open society. And we are, as a people, inherently and historically opposed to secret societies, to secret oaths, and to secret proceedings. Today, no war has been declared. And however fierce the struggle may be, it may never be declared in the traditional fashion. Our way of life is under attack. Those who make themselves our enemy are advancing around the globe. The survival of our friends is in danger. And yet no war has been declared. No borders have been crossed by marching troops. No missiles have been fired. Even today, there is little value in opposing the threat of a closed society by imitating its arbitrary restrictions. Even today, there is little value in ensuring the survival of our nation if our traditions do not survive with it. For we are opposed around the world by a monolithic and ruthless conspiracy that relies primarily on covert means for expanding its sphere of influence, on infiltration instead of invasion, on subversion instead of elections, on intimidation instead of free choice, on guerrillas by night instead of armies by day. It is a system which has conscripted vast human and material resources into the building of a tightly knit, highly efficient machine that combines military, diplomatic, intelligence, economic, scientific, and political operations. Its preparations are concealed, not published. Its mistakes are buried, not headlined. Its dissenters are silenced, not praised. No expenditure is questioned, no rumor is printed, no secret is revealed.
Welcome back. Top of the second hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast, this Friday, March 31st, 2023. Go to the phones in a second. Just to finish this thought from page 64 of Hollywood Goes to War, How Politics, Profits, and Propaganda Shaped World War II Movies. And it's not just World War II, obviously, but you knew that, right? By Clayton Copse and Gregory Black, from page 64. The Office of War Information hoped to capitalize on the artfulness of Hollywood and the susceptibility of movie audiences. This is the point that I have been trying to make a variety of different ways, but former CBS broadcaster and Office of War Information director Elmer Davis, he said it best. He's quoted here, quote, "Spellbound in the darkness to insinuate its message into the minds of an unsuspecting public," Davis said, quote, "the easiest way to inject a propaganda idea into most people's minds is to let it go in through the medium of an entertainment picture when they do not realize that they are being propagandized." What did he mean? Let me just explain a little bit more. Entertainment pictures presumably could reach a mass audience impervious to carefully reasoned writing. And again, you know, folks like Bertrand Russell talked about this and the impact of science on society, et cetera, et cetera. The Office of War Information believed this could be accomplished if propaganda messages were, quote, "casually and naturally introduced into the ordinary dialogue, business, and scenes which constitute the bulk of film footage," end quote. For example, crowd scenes might contain women in uniform, teenagers participating in war activity as part of their daily routines, and businesses displaying war posters, rationing notices, and other signs of a nation at war. By making the war pervasive in the depiction of ordinary lives, the movie would show that the country was united. Meta. It's one of those psychological nudges. With everyone participating equally, despite Davis's call for a, quote, "strategy of truth," the Office of War Information prepared to manipulate cinema images in ways imperceptible to the public. And so from there, there are some very specific points that are made with regard to meetings that were had, things that were said, and how exactly the sausage is made. American media publisher Nelson Pointer and his efforts, the Office of the Coordinator of Information, the COI is the acronym. How COI, how clever. But you can read that for yourself. Hollywood Goes to War, How Politics, Profits, and Propaganda Shaped World War II Movies, published back in 1987. Not much, it seems, has changed. And if we're always in a state of crisis, well, then what? By the way, there's a fantastic short sort of mini documentary titled The Origins of America's Secret Police, Ancient Roots of Occult Societies and Intelligence Operations. And that's produced by Jason Dahl, the Canadian Patriot Press folks, narrated by Matthew Arrett, the incomparable Matthew Arrett, and based on the work of the equally incomparable Cynthia Chung. It's 31 minutes and change long. If you're interested in the subject, definitely worth a watch. You know, Cult of Apollo, Oracle at Delphi, you know, skipping forward to Albert Pike and, you know, the Scottish Rite stuff and J. Edgar Hoover and all kinds of other spooky, shadowy figures and subject matter. It's eye-opening, I think, for most people. And then you figure out that, you know, all of these dirty tricks are from antiquity and they're not new. You know, Trevor Aronson's 2015 TED Talk, How This FBI Strategy is Actually Creating U.S.-Based Terrorists. Oh, that's a strategy from antiquity. That's really nothing fancy and new. We just have a department that gets billions of dollars to do it now. All right, to the phones, Lynn in Maryland. Don, sorry we lost you. I hope you call back. Lynn in Maryland, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Thank you, Chris. Good morning.
Good morning.
I heard you say, oh, China and Russia wouldn't do that, huh? And I was like, okay, forget breakfast. I had to come to the phone and then listen to Kennedy. I just want to cry. You know, because Lord knows we have our own Christian secret societies. Council for National Policy, though it's not so secret anymore, is it? Thank goodness for the Shatter Network, and she wrote that book.
Alan West is a Templar, but, you know, he's just protecting Christians in the homeland, so that's not weird at all.
Yeah, and General Beady Eyes.
Yeah.
You know, with the Family Research Council.
Mm-hmm.
Last Friday, on the 23rd, on Democracy Now!, Amy interviewed James Banford. He read an article, I think it was in The Nation, The Candidate and the Spy, about a secret intelligence agency in Israel, 8200, and how they interfered in the 2016 election. He got the documents from the FBI. It's actually the part of the Mueller report that's still redacted. And Benjamin Netanyahu met with Donald Trump in Trump Towers. Okay, so it's not just China and Russia, because also they've also interfered with a lot of elections in Latin America and Africa. Okay, and actually, when you were talking, I was thinking about, well, you know, newspaper and radio propaganda, that was great. I mean, listen to Katie Thornton's The Divided Dial, her podcast. She was actually, one of them was on the media last Saturday. But when the TikTok guy was at that hearing last week, he actually threw Cambridge Analytica in Congress's face.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, the Mercers, the whole thing with the election. But ours isn't half as bad as what happened to those poor people in Myanmar. And all they had to do was play people with social media, pit
right.
them against each other.
Right.
I mean, people don't even know it. It's kind of like, you know, a lot of times we've been hearing stuff since we were little kids, and we don't even question it. I mean, even
well,
the Bible.
So speaking of that, not to sidetrack you, but you know, I sort of touched on that yesterday. You know, how you can only be shocked by something once, but then do we keep a rolling tally of what we've been shocked by, and so we can go back? I mean, I think of all of the books that I read, you know, like in grade school, reading things like Johnny Tremaine or you know, John Christopher's Tripod series was terrifying to me, and things like that. Or, you know, I mean, obviously 1984, Animal Farm, Brave New World, these kinds of things, the conditioning, people don't realize the concepts. I mean, do we really go back mentally and say, man, I remember I was terrified. I didn't sleep for nights because of that, and how that sort of acclimates and anesthetizes us to certain things that end up happening.
Well, that's it. And we are now not only lulled to sleep, especially with videos and the fact that they're running virtual reality in the background that your brain just has no idea. But it takes it all in, believes it as fact, overrides everything, but you don't even know it. But the whole distraction part of it, like nobody can pay attention more than 15 seconds. I mean, have a conversation with somebody on the phone, like, did you hear what I said?
I remember, what were we talking about? Just kidding. I remember.
Yeah, I mean,
back
so,
in, yeah.
And if you've
no, I remember
like,
back in 2008, mentioning, it was an NPR article, you know, everybody was talking about multitasking, and it's so great, and there was even an NPR article around the moment that there was an increased buzz about multitasking. The article featured a study that said, you know, multitasking is a myth. It's not real. And then, you know, that subsided, and then we hear multitasking again. And now, you know, obviously our attention is constantly divided, and there is really the evidence, from what I understand, is unequivocal. That's not good. That's deleterious for our concentration. And that's a big reason why we can't hold a thought or have an in-depth conversation about things.
Yeah, and what's great is because this actually brings your programs earlier this week together. Because like last night when I was praying, I was thinking how Paul said, I am troubled for you. I mean, if we can't quiet down and embrace the truth, we'll buy anything. And we're going to be in trouble. And we'll compromise.
Well, you keep saying, get back to those three points. We're waiting. I mean, that's not how you said it, but I'm just... That's
no,
my.
No, that isn't what I meant. That isn't how I meant it at all.
No, I know, but you are waiting for that, and that's.
No, I read
it. You know, it gets right back to that. You know, it gets right back to the oversimplification, the simple-minded, the, you know, and again, the last point that he makes is the harping on some kind of negative point. And so, in the absence of virtue and critical thought, these you know, in that vacuum, these forces start to creep in and herd think takes over and bad things happen. So
yes, and we can just wait for it, the rug gets pulled out from under us. Mm-hmm. When the rug gets pulled out from under you, what do? Oh, panic. It's kind of like getting angry. You can't think right. And actually, that brings me to the other thing I heard last Friday was, you know, they do book TV on C-SPAN Radio on Friday nights.
Right.
A woman named Naomi Prinz, I think her name was. And she's written quite a few books, and she did an interview on this book last October, and it was Permanent Distortion,
it's
How Financial
Nomi.
Markets... I already told you that? Yeah.
It's Nomi for posterity's sake, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, How Financial Markets Abandoned the Real Economy Forever. And as bad as I knew things were financially... And this is last October, so it's not as, you know, Seneca Valley Bank or any of that yet, but it was probably mm-hmm. because look at who took their money out early. You know, all we have to do is look at that. And who gets rescued, you know? I mean, people with how many tens of thousands of dollars in the bank? But the money stuff is worse than we know. I mean, it's all funny money anyway, but that's how they can sell you one. So we'll just give you the digital currency, and you'll be fine, honey bun.
Yeah, well...
And we won't be fine if we fall for that. Well, then we're... Well, give me that, Mark, so I can... I won't have to trouble myself with a credit card, or I won't have to write a check or pay cash. You know, and then we're on... We're past the slippery slope at that point. So thank you. Thank you for waking everybody up. I pray more and more people hear you because this is information we need to hear.
You know, what I try to do is if there's anything, you know, again, I try to point to places that I don't think get mentioned and amplify stuff that I think is worth hearing. Speaking of that, there's one thing that I want to mention real quick, but first, you know, again, I mean, kind of like in between the cracks and the meta stuff and the nuance of context and things, and maybe that we should be looking out for the influence and persuasion campaigns because that's the devilish way. It has been since Genesis 3, yea hath God said. You know, I think to you know, kind of point out those nuances is critically important, and I think that doesn't get done enough. I mean, kind of piercing the veil type thing a little bit, maybe, to use the cliche. But the one of the things that I want to come back to, you know, that there was the Kentucky transurrection sort of thing around SB 150, the trans insurrection, whatever transurrection. Portmanteau. But Jennifer Billick did a fantastic interview. And I got to say, you know, it's interesting. She calls herself a feminist. It's over at Big Picture with James Patrick. James Patrick does the intro. It's about 40 minutes long. We might play the trailer for it, actually. But you can find it on YouTube titled Jennifer Billick, Who is Behind the Trans Agenda? Two words, trans agenda. And she does a masterful job of breaking it down in about 40 minutes of really kind of what's going on. Masterful job. She calls herself a feminist, and she defines terms and says, you know, this is what that used to mean. Women are being... unpersoned effectively. And the thing that I find kind of humorous is, you know, maybe she'll dig a little deeper and realize that the same forces have been behind the feminist movement, and we keep going back and back and back and back. Every time there is a movement to make the sheep move or the cows move, there's a reason.
Yeah, and there are people that are in it for the long game.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a short game. It's not somebody thought of it, you know, let's do our yearly planning. They just update their plans. They update their tactics. Whoever they are, I don't know who they are. And you got to wonder, because how could so many people be involved in a conspiracy? But clearly there are conspiracies.
I got
one.
There's
a study.
We're headed into a break. I got one more point. I want to hear what you have to say, but there's one point about this Jennifer Billick thing that pertains to what you're saying I want to get to. So we'll do that when we come back. Stick around, folks. We'll be right back after this short message. Short break.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email ProudSouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
Consider this. Dead people see only what they want to see. And frankly, most of us are still dead. Let me give you the lessons of gold and five easy lessons. Number one, don't buy it because you need to make money. You buy gold because you need to protect the money you already have. Don't ever look at the price as a barrier. Look at it as an incentive. Number three, don't buy its paper pretenders. We talked about that a lot. Buy gold. Buy the real thing in the form of coins and bullion. Fourth, don't fall prey to glitzy television or Facebook ads. Do your due diligence instead. And that's what I try to provide you with and have for 26 and a half years on the air and 30 years in this profession. Fifth, don't allow naysayers to divert your interest. Allow yourself the right to protect your interests as you see fit. Jeff Bennett here. One of the ways you can do that is to contact Kettle Moraine Limited. Contact me by calling or texting me at 602-799-8214. 602-799-8214. You can also email me at kettlemoraineltd@cox.net. Let me help you protect your wealth and your family today. Once again, call or text us at 602-799-8214 or visit our website, Sierra Madre Precious Metals.com. Be glad to help you out. Be glad to answer your questions. That's what we're here for. No pressure, just good, hard, common sense. The decision then becomes up to you.
To be indifferent to that suffering is what makes the human being inhuman. Indifference, after all, is more dangerous than anger and hatred. Anger can at times be creative. One writes a great poem, a great symphony. One does something special for the sake of humanity because one is angry at the injustice that one witnesses. But indifference is never creative. Even hatred at times may elicit a response. You fight it. You denounce it. You disarm it. Indifference elicits no response. Indifference is not a response. Indifference is not a beginning. It is an end. And therefore, indifference is always the friend of the enemy, for it benefits the aggressor, never his victim, whose pain is magnified when he or she feels forgotten.
An interesting little reminder. So I want to play this clip, actually, from the Jennifer Billick interview. And she makes a great point. I don't even want to say it. I just want to hear her say it, which speaks to what you're saying, the issue of paralysis generally. And, you know, I've mentioned how, you know, Matthias de Smet talked about this mass formation, and all of the crowd psychologists know that if a thing is, you know, again, I mean, back to guys like Martin Seligman and all of that kind of work where you do certain things that seem arbitrary and people can't get their bearings, it's very disorienting, then it's paralyzing. And the way that Jennifer Billick makes that point, I think, is fantastic. Can we play that, please?
I mean, the crazy, you know, sexual activity that's out there, the wars, the violence, the shows that are on television, everything is so violent, you know. Before the advent of the internet, we didn't have that kind of exposure to all of those things outside of our own little community, you know. So we become traumatized, and traumatized people don't move. Their initial response is to freeze if you're being traumatized. You know, if somebody comes into a bank and they hold you up and they put a gun in your face, you're going to freeze. You're not going to do anything. You know, and people are really sort of frozen in terms of responding to this. This is absolute madness. When you have young man...
There you go. Yeah. So that was the point that I wanted to mention. Anyway, what were you going to say?
Well, since you brought that up, I actually, because I'm a person who freezes and I know it, so I've had to think through that and not do it, you know, to fight it with everything
response.
I have. And I always hope if I'm in a bad situation that I can make eye contact with one other person in a group to do it. It's like, let's go. Let's go. I mean, that shooting in that church always drove me crazy because he's such a little puny guy. I don't even know that he did it, but I can't prove that one. I can tell you James Holmes didn't shoot anybody. But that guy, Granny could have knocked him over with her purse, but he had an advantage because they were all in a circle praying, so he had the time. But how he changed clips twice is beyond me. You know, you can't be a good shot. Besides that, this study, and you can probably find it, and actually there's a job somebody could have. I used to do it for people that aren't on the internet, believe me, because you can't get stuff if you're not on the internet, and it is kind of a problem. But there was a study, and there was an article in the Washington Post. It was the Sunday section of the paper, and it was probably about 5 years ago. The one thing I intentionally knew it was there and was, oh, throw it out anyway. It was like a 20 to 25-year study on communities in Italy and watching lowbrow TV. And because they had all the data over all that time, and certain communities had the station and certain communities didn't, they could actually see the effects of the people that watched that station with that content 20 to 25 years later, and how it affected their beliefs, their voting, and everything. So
now
you
you're
can
getting
really
to,
find it.
Now you're getting to what I've been trying to spell out, you know? Absolutely. And with all of this data, and you have supercomputing, people do not comprehend. We just don't fathom the depths of the manipulation that's going on.
And how much they know.
You know, and again, I mean, because I don't see it and feel it or perceive it, therefore it must not be happening, and Clark's third law is in full effect. Any sufficiently advanced technology is indistinguishable from magic. Chris,
which
that's crazy.
Which works the magic because they know everything. You said it yesterday. They know us better than we know ourselves. Do you know Netflix can actually, you could pick a movie to watch on Saturday, and Netflix will actually know that's not the movie you're going to end up watching. And you don't even know it until Saturday.
I will mention one thing again after that. We need to move on, but
I'll let you go because I'm sure you have people waiting. I just appreciate you so much, Chris. Thank you.
Thanks, Lynn. Much appreciated. Stick around, folks. We'll be right back.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth. You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Which will conclusively prove George Soros' role in orchestrating the plandemic. But first, dear patriots, the truth train has brought us a conspiracy in our own backyard. Now, you may think you know the story.
Now, it's like I always say, there's a whole lot of bullshit out there. So I'd like to give Soros, Pelosi, the Zionists, the Mexican, the snowflakes, and woke.
Stay strong, truth-tellers. Stay strong. Stay strong. And we'll rock till the break of dawn. This feels like heaven. Just you and me.
This feels like heaven. You're listening to RBN, In Defense of the Republic.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on long-term food storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
Tune in Saturday mornings, 8 to 10 Central, to the Alternative Media with your host, Barron. If you've not been listening, this is some of what you've been missing.
2,000 mules. Like you like to say occasionally, Farron, in your face.
They might have a set of lactating mammaries available that could provide milk for their adopted children.
Listen, news media, all pulling off this gigantic fraud.
Rhino, neocon, cucks.
There's this wonderful thing that's called Vote With Your Feet. Move to California.
I am a conspiracy factualist and everyone else is a reality theorist.
Hundreds, if not thousands, of ships came out of nowhere.
Give me liberty or let's give you death.
Any excuse to go in and kill yourself for this fraud of a government. This goes back 100 years.
When they come for your gold, give them a lead. And when they come for your guns, give them the bullets first. And God help us all.
As for the peace that we would preserve, I wonder who among us would like to approach the wife or mother whose husband or son has died in South Vietnam and ask them if they think this is a peace that should be maintained indefinitely. Do they mean peace, or do they mean we just want to be left in peace? There can be no real peace while one American is dying someplace in the world for the rest of us. We're at war with the most dangerous enemy that has ever faced mankind in his long climb from the swamp to the stars. And it's been said if we lose that war, and in so doing lose this way of freedom of ours, history will record with the greatest astonishment that those who had the most to lose did the least to prevent its happening. Well, I think it's time we ask ourselves if we still know the freedoms that were intended for us by the founding fathers. Not too long ago, two friends of mine were talking to a Cuban refugee, a businessman who had escaped from Castro. And in the midst of his story, one of my friends turned to the other and said, "We don't know how lucky we are." And the Cuban stopped and said, "How lucky you are. I had some place to escape to." And in that sentence, he told us the entire story. If we lose freedom here, there's no place to escape to. This is the last stand on earth. And this idea that government is beholden to the people, that it has no other source of power except the sovereign people, is still the newest and the most unique idea in all the long history of man's relation to man. This is the issue of this election. Whether we believe in our capacity for self-government or whether we abandon the American Revolution and confess that a little intellectual elite in a far distant capital can plan our lives for us better than we can plan them ourselves.
technocrats and the communitarian bent says that, you know, obviously we can't, you know, we can't take care of ourselves, and so we need a nanny. But I again am reminded of Jefferson, who said in his first inaugural address, actually, sometimes it is said that man cannot be trusted with the government of himself. Can he then be trusted with the government of others? Or have we found angels in the forms of kings to govern him? Let history answer this question. So it's just interesting that, you know, how is it that if we, you know, 300 million people can't decide for themselves, that suddenly experts, so-called, who decided they were experts, that don't know these people, can plan their lives for them better than they can plan them themselves, as Reagan put it. Anyway, the thing I was going to mention before we go back to the phones real quick is Howard Rheingold's Smart Mobs, published back in 2002, told this story from time to time. In Howard Rheingold's Smart Mobs, he tells some really hair-raising stories, one of which is, you know, I mean, this was published in 2002, so these are stories that happened before the turn of the 21st century. And one of them is the story of an MIT grad student who was working on a particular project, and as part of the project he gave a number of his fellow students cell phones. And this was around the time that, you know, cell phones became a thing. In other words, you know, people weren't thinking about this. Anyway, he gave a number of his fellow students cell phones on the condition that everything that they did with these phones would be tracked. Their GPS data, obviously, and everything else. And within a very short period of time, he was able, with all of that, predict their whereabouts weeks in advance with greater accuracy than they were able to predict themselves. And these are not dummies. These are MIT students. So, you know, that's just... And then Google, from what Howard Rheingold said, Google became interested and acquired that research. So, you know, and this goes way back. I mean, again, there is a coalescing. It's not just the data. If you understand how all of the personality assessment systems work, and if that those systems of understanding people can converge, and if we can socially engineer people in such a way that makes them very predictable, like what Chamath Palihapitiya mentioned at his Stanford School of Business talk back in 2017. You know, if we can get kids checkboxing, we can get them using certain devices that makes them programmable and programmed in a very real sense. They behave in a as Charlotte Isserby used to tell us, you know, in a Skinner box operant conditioning chamber sort of fashion. If you can do all of that, people become very predictable. And with enough data, like Harari says, you know, the algorithms just need to know you a little better than you know yourself. So, yeah, back to Michael Kaczynski's work at Cambridge Analytica and the psychometrics, et cetera, et cetera. I don't know. That should be enough on that for now. Back to the phones. Catherine in Maine, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Hi, Chris. I just wanted to mention the last caller. She's referenced about the videos and how there are things that you can't see with the naked eye. And I know that exists. I think Catherine Austin Fitz calls it brain entrainment. And mm-hmm. She seems very knowledgeable, the last caller in. I forgot her name. I apologize.
Lynn.
And I actually wanted to talk with her in depth about that because I'm very curious about that. But I don't know if it would be possible if she could leave her number with the board op, maybe. But anyway, and if you could ever give her maybe a segment, like 15 minutes, to just discuss that, like as a guest, and to go through the data so that we can do our own research now. I would be really grateful. I would love to hear more about that because it's a very important thing.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, open invitation. So,
okay.
There you go.
And then I had one prayer request. I am in rent-assisted housing, and I went through a lot of political mobbing once I got up here because I'm like the trash from Massachusetts, right? And some of the things that I was uttered by someone attending church, I was called a parasite. Oh, you're nothing but a liability. I'm talking ruthlessly cruel. And, you know, obviously I pray for that person's salvation because, I've known Satanists in Cambridge, Massachusetts. They don't talk to people like that, okay, ever. So I had a lot of toxic connected people in a house in the Boston area. And I don't know if this person is operating as part of, that's possible, okay? And they're very political, and I really had a lot of trouble last year with my lease renewal, okay? And that person told me that they want my apartment for someone else. And I've seen them take these apartments, okay, in Missouri. I saw the manager admitted what they were doing. They were bullying, gaslighting people out, you know, bullying them and stuff. And stacking his girlfriend from high school's family members in these rent-adjusted units, okay? There's no affordable housing anywhere. It is a war zone. And if anyone questions me there, I am the teacher, okay? I can do the 15-minute show or more. And there's an article, StopBullyingCoalition.org. The one I refer people to is Phoebe's story, and it was published in June of last year. And that is rampant across the nation. And, of course, when you're poor, you lose your voice, okay? There are no advocates, no one. We're just left to ourselves.
Well, unless you're a politically expedient prop.
I mean, it's just, I'm not even registered to vote. I'm not a left-wing liberal. I'm not a right. I think it's the flip side of the coin. The far left and the far right are both toxic, in my opinion. And an unjust balance is an abomination.
Intentionally. Again, it's the counter-gang strategy.
Mm-hmm. So I know you understand it, and I feel like you have an audience. I wouldn't just mention this on any show, okay? That I had no idea how poor people were treated because I didn't grow up poor. My mother was in her PhD, you know, program when I was in junior high. She was a nurse epidemiologist, a risk manager. My father was an airplane pilot, was brought in to be a flight instructor because he learned how to fly and had so many hours when he was 15. We had an airplane when I was a child. I'm priced out of the market for health care. Don't call me a parasite. You go after if you want to call someone a parasite, you go after the insurance boys and girls running the show. And I had a military guy in Boston, very connected, tell me one time, he said, if it weren't for the insurance issues in this country, you'd have a company of 500 people underneath your authority within your intelligence level, okay? And I interviewed for medical school, and I was denied health care for graduate school. I couldn't pursue further education, okay? Don't call me a parasite. And I've forgiven everything, but there's some political things that are going on that, to get into more detail, it would be too much for the radio show, okay? But I've had some odd things happen, and just the bullying, and the algorithm picked up ambient gaslighting. And because I'm kind of an expert on adult mobbing, institutional bullying, okay? These political people, they know what they're doing, okay? So if we could pray blessings on two people in particular, these two females, okay, swinging their weight around, okay, drunk with power. It is really evil, okay, and that my housing would go through fine and that God would bless them with repentance, okay? I wouldn't wish anything bad upon them. It's so pathetic. You understand me? I envy nothing in these people. It's sad. So if anyone could pray
with
me, I would be
grateful. No one's calling you a parasite here. We got other calls, so I appreciate it.
Okay, bless you.
Catherine.
Thank you.
Much appreciated, as always. So, you know, one of the thought that kind of keeps bouncing in and out of my mind, speaking of what Lynn was talking about, which correlates to what I've been trying to point out, Aaron Melissa Dyke's video that's from 2016, only been viewed less than 14,000 times. Should be, you know, many zeros more than that. Titled "The Time When a Single Computer Ran an Entire Country," and that time was back in 1971. And A. Stafford Beer was the guy, and you know, there was the control room, and I mean, it was very, very bizarre. Anyway, yeah. There's another video. Speaking of that, Project Cybersyn, Stafford Beer's Cybernetic Science Fictions. That's another one that's also kind of interesting along the same lines. Anyway, back to the phones. Brian in Washington, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Chris, I would just remind people on my last call, I'm making the analogy, RBN has a tire blowout, and that would be many shows like Richard Carey, which follows you. We need to use the tires that still have air, like Chris Hinckley's show, to get this rig off the side of the road and back to the barn to repair it. So I'm encouraging you, Chris. You've demonstrated with your ability to talk to a Monjabi for 2 hours. If you're playing this Glenn Beck telling Tucker Carlson on Fox, the world is done, the United States is tanked, and our only hope is in the Lord, I think the other side of that is Adam Green coming on your show. See, he won't reply to us, even though he's constantly, I want to go on interviews. Please, anybody that would like to have me on, it might take somebody like you from RBN to make this happen. So I'm just going to read to you from Beyond the Official Narrative chat room a few days ago. So www.beyondton, all one word, Chitango. Temp Sane says, big fan of Scorpio's takes, but not sure why he snarks at Adam Green. So I had been in the chat, I had been in the call-in for at half an hour with, you know, Richard Carey and Scorpio. Scorpio saw that I was in the waiting line to come on. He made a snarky comment about Adam Green. So, Chris, what I'm trying to say is this is on RBN. You're needing to defend that we can have a full-spectrum narrative, because this one-sided, like Glenn Beck, the Lord's our only hope, I think you're doing the world a disservice by not at least considering reaching out to Adam Green. Even Scorpio says, oh, yeah, there's lots of great researchers out there. A month ago, Adam Green's done some great work. As long as he just stays on Interviews, then we're on board. But as soon as he's saying, what about all them Christians? And that's not just the Christian Zionists. It's a wide spectrum. What if Adam's work in the last 6 months has been pointing out, I think we've been hoodwinked, folks. We as Christians are lockstep in the Jewish plan. And, you know, we have,
it's not a Jewish plan, but sure. I mean, there's agitprop. That's always the issue there. So, you know, the good stuff, the truth whatever it may be, you know, that has as its intended modus operandi, you know, agitprop, that truth. I mean, basically, you know, with agitprop, you end up marginalizing message and messenger and anyone who would be associated with it. So, I mean, that's kind of the concern. I'm not, you know, based on what you're saying, that's kind of where my mind is going. Anyway, I want to talk more about this. We're about to head into a break.
You want
to,
you know, let
what? Me go? Can we skip that?
You can let me go.
All right. I guess we're going to skip it. So, yeah, this is not a place where we grind axes. We're not in the axe sharpening trade here. We want to, you know, I'm not in the practice of criticizing other hosts, you know, for better or worse. I just don't think that's in good taste. And, so, you know, there's that, I try to be liberal in the, you know, the traditionally orthodox sense of the word with allowing folks to, you know, we all should be on our own best behavior. We should all treat each other with dignity and respect as much as possible. And I think that's important. Yeah, we have a few rules of the road on RBN, very few. This is a place where we have open dialogue because we all can handle the truth. We're adults. We don't need to have our consent engineered by the Bernaysian contingent. Bernays said in The Engineering of Consent that, you know, even the most well-informed people need to be propagandized. All right, well, who's propagandizing the propagandizers then? To borrow from the ancient colloquialism. So, you know, we have just a few rules of the road. We want to encourage civil discourse and not, you know, treat each other awfully and be treated like children as a result. No ad hominem attacks on other hosts and callers. You know, again, I don't, people may perceive that Road Warrior Radio is strangely silent on certain things. And I don't think it's in good taste to criticize other hosts, you know, for better or worse. And, but, you know, that's one of the rules of the road for RBN. And nothing, in my perception anyway, got John Stadmiller fired up quicker than that kind of stuff. That gets people put in a corner in timeout, radio timeout, quicker than anything. So, you know, I mean, there's a way to do that maybe that is, shall we say, edifying. And then the usual stuff that I think we've been better about, you know, no speaker phones, no Bluetooth stuff. If it impedes the sound quality at all. And, you know, it's a family friendly thing. A family friendly civil discourse. And we try to listen to each other. I think we've been doing better on this broadcast. I've felt it for weeks and months and years. It feels like things are improving despite the fact that the temperature in the cauldron is rising and we are being boiled. So, you know, I think there's a way that we can do that. That is tasteful, respectful, considerate, perhaps even edifying. And, that's my two cents on the matter. I hope that makes sense. Okay, so are you still there, Brian?
I am, thank you.
You have a thought on that?
Well, I guess I'm just going to say I would like
as you as being almost the longest standing contributor to RBN, we need to make sure that this kind of nonsense that certain co-hosts are saying, it's the analogy of the tint on your windows. We think your pigment of this window, we're going to have to write you a ticket in this state. This nonsense that is being perpetrated by, we're going to make a home for Whitey. Really,
I don't feel like you're commenting on what I said, though. And, you know, in addition to what I said, there's the issue that comes that arises from time to time. Again, one of the things that used to get John Stadmiller fired up is when he would listen before the National Intel Report, you know, listening throughout the day, obviously, and people would use show after show to grind axes. And that was just, again, something that John Stadmiller was not fond of. So, you know, we ought to be able to make a point quickly and get on with it and not try to, you know, browbeat people into submission over time. Not saying that's what you're doing, but it is something that comes to my mind.
Okay. Your accusations against my misbehaving are noted.
I'm not trying to accuse. I'm just saying it's something that comes to mind.
And
I'm not being glib by phrasing it that way. Genuinely, I'm not accusing. I don't know, but it's something that comes to mind. So,
okay, well, let's all donate to RBN right away because why? Well, why when all these listeners are saying, "Can somebody have Adam Green on?" No, it doesn't happen. Why is that? Well, it's because the narrative needs to be controlled.
And it sounds more like an Adam Green issue than a host issue to me.
Well, it's Merbailey issue. You know, Ingrid Castle went through this with Merbailey. Do you want to be my co-host? No, because you're Jesus this and the Lord
again,
that.
Again, I don't necessarily think that's for this moment here, so.
All right, well, let's everybody send some money to RBN because we can get the half the story from them. This is what people are asking, Chris. What about
I heard
this?
You, Brian. You have aired your grievance.
Wonderful.
Yep.
And I appreciate it very much.
Well, I hope so.
Spectacular weekend to you, sir.
Thanks, Brian. You too. So, yeah, we're headed into, that's it. That does it for today's broadcast. That's an interesting way to go out. And you know what? It's one of those things. It's written in stone now. We can't take it back. So, I hope you have a great weekend. I hope it was informative to some extent. I'm going to come back to this Jennifer Billick interview and some other stuff. I think it's very important. But that'll do it for today's broadcast. And as always, it truly is an honor and a pleasure. Take care. Have a great weekend. God bless. We'll catch you on the other side.
Song from the past, or the trickle of the babbling brook. All of these are sound frequencies that positively affect us. Terahertz is a soothing, healing frequency that has been proven to resonate at the same frequency as healthy cells. It penetrates the body and stimulates new healthy cell growth. Want to diminish muscle aches, joint pains, and experience a greater sense of well-being? Tired of spending money on short-term remedies that never seem to work? Soothing, healing, relaxing terahertz frequency is now available. and as handy as flipping a switch. Terahertz technology is changing the course of what we were taught about how to maintain our health and well-being. To read more about this amazing breakthrough and to order your Terahertz frequency wand, go to naturalearthmedicine.com. That's naturalearthmedicine.com.
You're listening to Real Talk Radio, only on the Republic Broadcasting Network.